God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Almost every family has that one person who is impossible to buy a gift for. If your family doesn't have that person, there's a very good chance that person is you. In my family, it's my dad. I remember being of an age where I got my first job and I had earned my paycheck and I was decided I'm going to buy my dad a Christmas present with money that I had earned instead of money that he had earned or that my mom had earned. And I went and I thought and I couldn't figure out what I wanted to get him. I didn't know what he would like. I didn't know what he would need. So I went and asked my mom. And she said, I don't know. Good luck. So I called my grandmother. And she said, I don't know. Good luck. And so I went and I asked him because I wasn't going to surprise him. I just wanted to get him something he would like. He said, well, I guess I could use some fishing line. Okay. That's a great Christmas present, Dad. So I got a fishing line. Year after year, I tried to figure out what I should get him, and I ended up getting him fishing lures and fishing line and bullets for his gun so he could go hunting and all sorts of other random things that My dad is just one of those people, if he needs something, he goes and buys it himself. He doesn't wait around for someone to give him something. And so this year, I decided I would be a little more sneaky with it. I had my kids ask Grandpa what they should get him for Christmas. And he told them. In Hosea, we read a passage that really didn't sound all that great. You see, Hosea was a prophet in a time in Israel's history where they were divided. There was North Israel and South Israel, except they were called Israel and Judah. And this happened somewhere around the year 922, 932 BC. And for 200 years, roughly, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom were divided. And Hosea was a prophet to the kingdom in the north. And this kingdom wasn't very reliant upon God. You see, one of their issues, and part of why there was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom, is they didn't want to go all the way to Jerusalem to make their sacrifices. They said, why do we have to go to Jerusalem? We can make a sacrifice right here. Why do I have to go to church? I can go to church on the golf course. Sorry. The northern kingdom didn't have the big army, didn't have the fighting men of Judah. They didn't have the Benjaminites who were amazing with a slingshot. No, David didn't come from Benjamin. Different story. And so they would look and they'd find other places to get their power from. They made real good friends with the big guy down the street named Egypt. And whenever someone would come and threaten the northern kingdom, they'd run to Egypt and say, Egypt, come save us. So-and-so is after us. And their relationship with God was not very good. They didn't trust God to protect them. They didn't want God to protect them. And so the prophets to the north all end up sounding a little bit like Hosea. You've forgotten who God is. You've forgotten your relationship with God. Ephraim, which is the biggest tribe in the kingdom in the north, what will I do with you? What will I do with you? Your faithfulness is like the mist in the morning. As soon as the heat rises, it's gone. Your love is like the dew on the grass. As soon as the sun shows up, it's gone. The word in the Hebrew scriptures for that love, for that faithfulness, is chesed. And it's the same word that Hosea uses in just a few more verses where he says, I desire faithful love, not sacrifice. I desire chesed, not sacrifice. Your chesed is like the morning dew. As soon as something shows up, it's gone. What are we talking about here? God seems to want chesed from God's people. And it gets translated as faithful love. It gets translated as faithfulness. It gets translated as love. It gets translated as loyalty. So what is chesed and how do we deal with this? How do we as God's people offer God chesed? Well, we're a lot like the tribe in the north. In fact, we don't really know much about chesed sometimes. We don't want chesed very often, and we don't think about it. And so instead, we sing songs about the thing we do want. The Beatles had a famous song about this. Its name is Money. In fact, the first lines in that song are, they say the best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and the bees. I want money. Give me money. And that's the refrain after every couple of lines. I want money. And there's a country song that I really like. I don't like much country, but I like this song. The name of it is, I can buy a boat. And the general gist of that song is money can't buy everything, but it can buy me a boat. It can buy me a truck to pull it. It can buy me a cooler to fill with things that I like to drink. It can't buy happiness, but it can buy me a boat. We as people understand that, right? We want money. We offer God money. Because we think God is like us. Whether we do consciously or subconsciously, we think God is like us. God needs things, and therefore God needs something to get those things with. That's what money's for, right? It's for buying a boat. Which Amy's grandfather said, a boat is a hole in water that you throw money into. I don't know, I've never had a boat, but I see some knowing nods from around me. The psalmist picks up on the idea that we think God is like us. And it's satire. Did you know the Bible had satire in it? Hear these words. This is supposed to be the voice of God speaking in this psalm. You're not in trouble for your sacrifices. Your offerings are always before me. You put them in the plate every time it gets passed. But I don't want a bull from your house. I don't want a goat from your pens. All the animals are mine. How can you give me what's already mine? If I was hungry, do you think I'd tell you? I'm God. Do you think I sit around and just wait for the next sacrifice? Oh, that'll taste good. No, what I want from you is an offering of thanksgiving and your faithfulness to me. And that when you call upon me when you're in trouble, I'll answer. And you can glorify me for that. I love this psalm. I've changed a few of the words as I shared it with you just now, but the gist of it is God isn't like us. God doesn't need money. God doesn't want cattle. God doesn't want sacrifices. God wants us. God wants our chesed. So what does chesed look like? Well, I told you we figured out what to get my dad for Christmas this year. In February, my family's going to go up to visit him because he said the only thing he wanted was to make memories with my kids. He wanted to see his grandkids. See, my dad and mom live in Michigan. It's pretty far away. Some of you have driven from there. Wisconsin's further, depending on what part of Wisconsin you're from. He just wanted to spend time with his grandkids. That's the only Christmas present he cared about. He wanted to see them and make memories with them. And for me, chesed is a lot like that present. Chesed is being in relationship with one another. Making memories together so that you can grow in love and grow together and closer to each other. So what does it mean for us as God's people to offer to God chesed? To offer that relationship, to offer that time of making memories together. What does that look like for us? For some of us, and in some ways, that means putting something in a plate when it gets passed. It means committing to a sort of relationship. Why? God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need to buy a boat. God needs our relationship. And when we give to God what God has given us, we demonstrate that we're willing to trust God. And if there's a way to build a relationship faster and stronger, it's demonstrating trust. Am I right? The more you trust someone, the more you'll be near them and relate to them at a deeper level. When we grow in trust of God, we grow in our relationship with God. That's why we give. It's not because God needs money. It's because we need to trust God. Do you think that when someone sacrificed a bull or a goat, the firstborn, the prize of the stock, that it was not costly? People bet their entire future offering to God what was from their flock or their herd. In your bulletins, you received an envelope and a card and a letter. The next few weeks, we'll be looking and praying together about how we will go through 2018 offering to grow our relationship with God. One of the ways we can do that is we can commit to a faithful relationship in giving to God, that the church and the ministry that we do together will grow. One of the other ways, and it's on the card, is increasing that gift. I don't care if you give one penny or $1 million. And God doesn't either. Except that God knows that your relationship with money will work differently when you give it to God. God knows that your heart and my heart are changed by giving the things that we trust in to God, that we may grow in our trust and relationship with God. And you may be thinking, this is a really poor stewardship sermon to give by saying that God doesn't need money. Because God doesn't. But God needs our relationship. God needs our chesed, our faithfulness, that loving relationship between you and God, and me and God, and all of us together and God. And the way that we grow that relationship, well, a way that we grow that relationship is demonstrating our trust in God. By giving away a little bit of our security, whatever that may look like for you, and trusting God a little bit more. And so over these next few weeks, I invite you to pray, God, what can I give to you that I can grow in my relationship with you, that I can learn to trust you more deeply? Is it an hour out of my week to come and tutor some kids? Is it a little 1% of my income? You can pick, gross or net, I don't care. That's between you and God. Is it 10%? Or maybe it's 20%. That's between you and God. Because this is about you growing your relationship of trust with God. It's about making memories. God, remember that month where I didn't think I could make it? And I did? Thanks, that was awesome. God, remember that time when your people were scared in Egypt and you gave them dry bread and some wine as they went running away from Egypt and you delivered them? God, remember that time you came and lived among us and you sat at a table and you broke bread and you remembered that time in Egypt with your disciples and you changed the words and you got them wrong and you said, take and eat, this is my body given for you. And drink this cup every time you remember me. Because this is the cup of salvation. Brothers and sisters, God is about making memories and relating to us. That's what God wants from us. God wants us to be in relationship together. Will you turn to page 12 in your hymnal or turn your attention to the screen as we remember together the story that God has given to us.